So Tov Yud Chet from the Sefer HaChinuch. Shenitztavinu Leo V'Samlochom Baruch Hu. We are commanded to love the Rabbeinu Shammai. Now, this is a very difficult notion of what it is and how it is. First of all, the Rabbeinu Shalom is abstract in the first with our first consideration. So, love we associate with something, we deal with things or people that we deal with. They're here, they're concrete, we can relate to them. The Rabbeinu Shalom is an abstraction. But there are people that can love abstractions too. Right? Have a mathematician who loves math. Math is an abstraction. What we put on paper only represents the abstraction, but math is ultimately an abstraction. There's nothing concrete to it. It is an abstract tool with which we interpret the things around us in the world. But it's an abstraction. And there are people that love mathematics. The mathematician who resolved the problem of Fermat's last theorem, a mathematical puzzle which stood for centuries, he locked himself away basically for 7 years. That's what he lived for about the last theorem. Until he was Mechadish his Pshat. Yeah, he loved math. But the problem with Avos Hashem is beyond it. The Rambam says, the Rabbeinu Shalom is not knowable by us. There is no way that we could conceivably relate to the Rabbeinu Shalom. It is totally outside the realm of anything that we can understand. We do not describe the essence of the Rabbeinu Shalom because we have no means of describing it. You have no means of understanding it. All we can do is we relate to the Rabbeinu Shalom in two ways. In terms of what he does in this world, his actions, and it's one other way. And that's in terms of his Torah that he's given us. So those give us some connection, a connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. But again, not with the essence of what the Rabbeinu Shalom is that lies beyond us. So, Lehoi v'samokom baruch hu shenema, v'yavto ayis Hashem alokecho, v'inyan ha-mitzvah, shenachshoi v'nizboinein. It is very interesting. He incorporates both. V'pikudov, we should examine the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah, u'pu'uloisov, and his actions. And Ma'aseh Hashem, the world, is the Rabbeinu Shalom's actions. The Rambam, as we will see, in the Yad, the Rambam talks about observing the world around us. The Rambam, say, for HaMitzvahs, talks about drawing close to the Rabbeinu Shalom through Torah. The Sefer HaChinuch has taken both, that is, Boinim B'Pikudov U'Pa'ulayisov. Chovas Halavavus, in the beginning of Shara B'Chinah, also approaches it from both angles, from the angle of Torah and the angle of understanding the world around us. Both are windows by which we can appreciate the Rabbeinu Shalom. Achinasigeyu, until we will understand it, Tifiyacholteinu, in accordance with our abilities. Now he means not only the personal abilities each person has. There are obviously differences in that realm too, but it's much beyond that. Kifiyah Cholteinu means that the human being, as a human being, really does not have the means by which to understand the Rabbeinu Shalom. So perforce, whatever we do understand is a limited sense. But that's what it means, Kifiyah Cholteinu. And with this insight that we gain, we will have tremendous joy. the greatest joy that a person can have. So the ultimate level of Avas Hashem is one feels such joy in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shelo, is Betachlis Ayinu, is apparently is the most ecstatic experience that a person can find in this world altogether. Yes, to discover the Rebbeinu Shelo. Vizosi ha'ava ha'mechuyevas, and this is the ava that will mechuyev to come to. This is a very, very big, this is a very, very big undertaking. He is wonderfully achieved, managing to put it down in 2 months. But to realize on just one the aspect of the Bechina, one of the two aspects of Pu'ulos Hashem, Chovas HaLavavos wrote a very lengthy chapter of Shara Bechina. To understand the Chochma that exists within the Bria. And he tells us that there are varied reasons that we don't see the Chochma of Hashem and the Bria. One is that we grow up as young children and we become used to the world as it is. The sun rises in the morning, it sets at night, stars come out, seasons change. So just the way it is. By the time a person is mature and might stop to think about it, we just take it for granted, the world around us. And since we take it for granted, there's nothing to think about. And he says another reason is that we get so wrapped up in the chase with this world. And by being caught up in the chase for material things, we experience tremendous frustration. And that frustration leaves a person feeling that this world is not exactly a fair place. A person that has material pursuits in this world, material pursuits are very, very open-ended. It says concerning the Ovis, but Avraham Avinu was zokin u'svayom, that he was satisfied in this world. And that certainly is that the very, very unusual thing that the Ramban points out. That normally a person is ain't on the mace for chatz taros of the other. Meaning we always have unfulfilled things that we want in life. In the material world around us, we have quests that are unfulfilled. Avraham Avinu was given a special matana by the Rebbeinu Shelo that he felt fulfilled. But that's to be in the madriga of Avraham Avinu, to be worthy of that gift on the Rebbeinu Shelo. So man essentially lives to a certain extent in frustration. And because of that, he looks at the world and he feels it's not a divine place. It's not a pure place. So how could it be that I'm supposed to look for what the yosher of the Rebbeinu Shelo Olam and his goodness when I feel the world is not a pure place? And the nature of life is such that there is no person who can feel fully accomplished. Why? Because no one has all the talent in the world. In any area, as talented as a person is, even in his own area, he doesn't have all the talent. You can take a great musician, a world-class musician, invited to play in every philharmonic orchestra in the world. But switch to another instrument, doesn't know what to do with it, doesn't know which end to pick it up in professional terms. His thing is world class. But right around him, there are another 20 instruments that he can't play anywhere near world class. So, as good as he is, this is what he can't do too. in physical things, it's that way also. A person has a talent in one area. He's enormously talented, but he's not talented as something else. One of the, I think it was, if I remember, Usher Sinclair, I believe his name, he said, what made him a Baal Tshuva? He said he was enormously successful in the world of Hollywood, the world of music. He made money beyond belief. He says, I achieved everything that someone in Western society wants to achieve. And when I got there, I said, this is what it's all about. Nothing here. Okay, you know, a guy that made money beyond belief, had fame beyond belief, was professionally successful. The whole world was jealous of him. And he said, what's here? There's nothing here. What did I chase for? Where did I come to? So, man essentially, in his material pursuit, is unfulfilled. And even the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is not an answer for us in that regard. What I mean is, the Gemara writes in Mishlei, when it comes to our material requests, love the Daska that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will answer us in the affirmative to that which we ask of. The essence of tefillah is not for the purpose of achieving our material ends. The essence of tefillah is to humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and to realize our dependence on the Rabbeinu. That's the essence of what tefillah is. Ruchnius is a different story. Ruchnius is the one place we can be successful. We say in davening with the Harchef Picho V'Amaleim, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it up. The more you open your mouth, the more you put in. So the Gemara says in Brochah, so who be Divrei Torah? In Divrei Torah, there's no max. The more we desire, the more we'll have siyata d'shmaya to achieve. So, that's another reason man does not find the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in this world, because of our frustrations. And we have in our age, we have another major issue. We live in a very secular age. How much the world has changed around us. Not that we have changed, but the world has changed around us. I always mention to my Talmidim that I have a particular fascination with the Lincoln Memorial. It's fascinating. Its majesty, its beauty. On the wall of the Lincoln Memorial, inside, is the second from 1864. 143 years ago, the second inaugural address of Abraham Lincoln. I was so taken by it that I went and I fished it out in the library and made copies to put in my phone. He talks about the Civil War. And he says the tremendous suffering that has taken place in this war. The tremendous destruction that has taken place. And what is the spin on it? Basically, he says that in our terms, and he's very blunt, shouldn't be chayte niska. The one that sinned should not benefit, should not reap the rewards of sin. That when slavery was steeped in iniquity, the Almighty has seen to it that all the prophets of sin should have gone up in smoke. This is the President of the United States, who's not known historically to have been an overly religious figure, in fact. Now, could you imagine getting up and saying such a thing? The President would say such a thing? Maybe you'd have to be, you know, maybe a fundamentalist preacher to say such a thing in our society. You know, you could imagine, yeah, you know, Mashkiach is one of the great yeshivas to give such a shmooze, we could imagine. But this was considered appropriate in the, for the body politic of the United States in 1864. So the world has gone very, very far away from Amuna in our time. The agnosticism of the Western world grows. In our society, in a very superficial sense, everyone says they believe. And we're better off than most of the other Western societies, for that matter. But belief is not a very profound thing. You know, it meets a very hostile, in many regards, reception when it goes from the abstract to the real world. In the abstraction, you know, faith is very good in the society. But when it comes to halacha l'maisa, describing the world around us, that's already, it takes a beating. And this is also part of the problem that we have. We live in an age which is not a religious age, really. And does not view the world through the lens of Hashgacha. The Loshen Sifri, if you should never be your hafta, but any day, Kater Oyev Odom Hamokov. How do we love the Rabbeinu Shalom? Not so easy. Talmud Leimar, and this is part of, it's only Kriya Shema. Rahoyu Hadrori Ma'ila Sharuchi Mitzavach Ohayim Allah Ovech. Shemitoch Kach, from the study of the Rabbeinu Shalom Torah, Atumakers Misha'omar Rahoyu Ailam. You can recognize and appreciate the one that created the world. Leimar, his bainah is patera. Through contemplating the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah, tisyashi va'avah b'leiv v'hechos. Inevitably, a person will come to a measure of avas Hashem from this. Now, we will go to the Rambam soon. See where the Rambam was further with this. That if a person truly has Avas Hashem, then he will feel the need to inspire others to recognize the Rabbeinu Shalom too. And this is what we find in Moshe Matino of Avraham. Avraham Avinu, it is not merely a philosophical quest. Avraham Avinu is driven by Avas Hashem. It's Avas Hashem which drives him to be the first of all across the world. How could he sit back with his arms folded and the world is steeped in Avodah Zarah? It's insulting to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Avraham Avinu undertakes a one-man quest to change the world. And how remarkably he changes the world. In all those places in the world, which we discussed before, there's progeny of Bin. Basically, they believe in Achdus Hashem. Change the world. The Shoresh Mitzvah Zu Yadua. This mitzvah does have a purpose. A purpose in the sense not only as an abstract mitzvah of Avas Hashem, which is important, but it brings us to something too, which is very, very important. Shliyikayim ahodam mitzvahs Hashem baruch hu yofa. We will not fulfill the mitzvahs properly, rak ba'avos ha'oysa, only if we have Avas. As Rashi writes in Chumash, in Parshas Veschanan, Rashi cites the Sifri on the Ohavto, Asei Dvorov Me'Avo, worship the Rabbeinu Shalom Mitoch Avas Hashem. Why? Because Eino Doima Oisa Me'Avo V'Oisa Me'Yiro. A person could serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. He could serve the Rabbeinu Shalom from Yiro. He could serve the Rabbeinu Shalom Me'Avo. But what's the difference? So Oisa Oisa Rabo Me'Yiro, if he only serves the Rabbeinu Shalom Machmas Yiro, this is whom a triach alo. If it becomes burdensome, it is manicho v'holichlo. He leaves them over and he leaves. You know, how much did I sign on for? A job has limitations. You know, there's so much that your boss could ask you. If he consistently oversteps his bounds, so what do you do? You quit. You get yourself another job, then you then walk in one day and tell him, here's 2 weeks' notice to CRM. He doesn't know his bend. He overstepped himself. So why? Because ultimately, that's Ovid Meir. The person works because he's cognizant of what the effect of his life will be if he doesn't work. He doesn't approach work as something of Ava that he has to do, that he must do. I mean, very few people are going to sit and mope if they come to work tomorrow and the boss will tell them, you know, we decided it's been a very good year in the business and consequently we don't need to work anymore in the rest of 2007. So Thanksgiving until the day after New Year's, we're closing down. And everyone will get paid and you get all your bonuses and that, but you don't have to come to work from now until after New Year's. No one's going to go around and mope. Everyone will smile and they'll figure out what they're going to do for the next 6 weeks. Why? Right? Because the work is ultimately not me'avah. There's a reason that drives it. There are practical reasons that we have to do it. If the practical reasons would cease to exist, so we won't have to do it. So no one bother us in the least. There was once a Rebbe in the high school in Chabad Chaim. Avraham Pernikel was at the time of the Baruch. A very interesting man. He's in the east side. He goes into the bank one day. And he gives the teller a check to deposit from the yeshiva. And he tells the teller, he says, this check is worth more than any check that you get from corporate America. And the teller looks up, you know, okay, listen, you're not profit, you exist to pay a bill. But how can you compare with the wealth of corporate America and the non profit sector? He says, Rabbi, why is that? He says, very simple. The corporation is here only for one reason, to make profit. When it stops making profit, the corporation is closing down. It's going away. He says, we're not here, we're not in this business for money. For something much more significant than that. So we're not going away. We're here to stay. That's what a person is even me'ava. Now, wave is me'ava. Then we're here to stay. Jehovah shall live but shriyachalo. Everybody should learn as much. So, if we stop to think of the responsibility that we bear in Mitoch Ahava, Mitoch Ahava, we bear phenomenal burdens in life. What doesn't a person do for his family? It's unlimited what a person does. Khalil, a person goes home and it's the busiest season in your business. And you're in your office 10, 12 hours a day under tremendous stress. Come home. It's now Thursday night. You've been like this for the last 3 weeks, almost around the clock in your office. A child takes ill and has to go to the emergency room at 2 o'clock in the morning. What do you do? Get dressed, put on the clothes, and take them to the emergency room at 2 o'clock in the morning. What else in this world would get you out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning? At this particular stage where you're holding, it's the middle of your busiest season, 3 weeks you've been working around the clock. Thursday night, right? 5 days from last Shabbos already. That's Mitoch Ahava. Somebody's Mitoch Ahava, there are no limitations. Dinei ha-mitzvah, sh'roi lo le'odem sh'yosef kol machshavto v'kol magmoso achar avat Hashem. We should place all our goals and all our desires and all everything that we think of in this world should be in terms of Avas Hashem. The Yarech Belibo Tamid, we should constantly conjure up for ourselves in our mind. Everything that exists in this world, Be'osha u'bonim v'kovet. From wealth, children, and honor that a person has. The things that a person strives most for in life. Hakol ka'ayinu ke'efes v'tol k'neged avos ha'baruch. They're all insignificant vis-a-vis avos Hashem. Now, very interesting. On the pasuk, we have to ayis Hashem alokecha b'chol u'rabecho, b'chol nachshecho, v'b'chol mo'idecho. It's a very interesting interpretation of a very interesting interpretation of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Person would be lacking, he says, there are three things that people strive for in life. Boni, Chayim, Vizayne. You have children, to be financially secure, and to be healthy, health in life. There's a person that's threatened, and any of them feels very wanting in this world. And it's very hard to comfort such a person. Because as much as he wants to have Emunah and the Rabbeinu Shalom, but the world is concrete. The concrete problems weigh upon him. So what did the Rabbeinu Shalom tell us to do? L'zeh bo dvar Hashem. The Rabbeinu Shalom has commanded us b'tzivolo al adobar hazeh. That we should make the following assessment. Shiyaruch avas Hashem b'liba. How much should we project avas Hashem in our mind? To what extent should it be? The Gimel Dvar, in terms of all three things, the Gam Shiyitle Mimenu, even if I wouldn't have them. The Neged Rabbonim Omar B'chol Levavecho, U Keneged Chayei Omar B'chol Nafshecho, Keneged Mezoni Omar B'chol Mo'odecho. So what should we think? Shiyarech V'dayito Shloshto Me'achad. We should imagine all three of these things. In one shot. And that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Avos Hashem, exceeds all of them together. And then he goes even further. Not only does it exceed the gift of each of them, that's what we're to say in these three things, but he goes further. He brought across the Shire Shira Ava. What's the extent of the Ava? Not only that, how much Ava should a person have? So it's not only that the Avos Hashem exceeds the world that we experience in these three things, is but the shira hergish, how much should we feel it? He says, "Asher yovo b'leiva adam, ve'is asher tasig yodol gimel dvarim ke'echad." Suppose a person is threatened on all three of these things: he's childless, he's impoverished, and his life hangs by a hair. And suddenly, in one moment, he has a yeshua, his health fortunes reverse, and he becomes healthy again. He becomes a very wealthy man, and his wife has a child. Well, here he was in the three principal things of Boni Chayim Lezaynet. He was totally down and out, on the edge of oblivion in all of them, and in one rush, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave him all three. How much simcha would the person feel? I mean, the resolution of any one of these problems would bring him tremendous joy. And he had three immense, burdensome problems, overwhelming problems and central issues in life. And in one moment, they're resolved. And that's what it is. B'chol u'vavecho, b'chol nafshecho, b'chol mo'idecho. In other words, to the fullest extent, not slightly, he fulfilled my need to the nth degree in every one of these areas. And that, imagine the joy we would feel. And that's what the Rabbeinu Shalom says, to what extent it should parallel or surpass the joy that we would feel if the Rabbeinu Shalom would max us out suddenly from the edge of oblivion to the max in all three of these areas of life. How much joy would a person feel?
It sounds like from him here also, we said that all of the minor
years
are out of the
shame.
After showing the person
has
none of these, he still has
to
feel.
Yeah, right. Oh,
so someone though, it's natural for us, for me personally, my Ahat Hashem I think stems from Hakar Kapov, that I could go through blessing you that is so much. And I have a, so is that a lacking in
No, it's not. That's what he's saying. How do we come to Ahat Hashem? Through, that's what Chovas HaLevav is right to learn. Examining all the chesed that the Rebbeinu Shlomo does in this world. And that's what brings a person to, that brings a person to Ahat Hashem. What he's telling us is there's a dimension that it can even be deeper than we will ultimately than what we've personally experienced. And to realize is that Ahavat Hashem, the Ahavah that we should have with the Rebbeinu Shlomo, is to an extent that's beyond the maximum experience I could have from sudden success in this world, from the brink of oblivion to major success in every area of life. How we come to it, you're right. We come to it through the appreciation of Chesed Hashem. That's how we come to it. But it shouldn't only be limited by the Chesed that we experience. We have to set our sights beyond it. That's what drives it, you're right. Absolutely, that's what drives it. But what it's telling us is our sights have to go even beyond it. Even in the to realize even where we don't experience the chesed of the Rebbeinu Shalom, to feel the love of the Rebbeinu Shalom as well. But where do we come to that from? We come to that from appreciation of chesed Hashem.
It seems like the Hakadosh Baruch Hu is love dependent on the thing. And here you're saying you want love not dependent on
the thing. Well, the way to come to it, to appreciate the Rebbeinu Shalom, is through chesed Hashem. Well, that's what drives a person to have the true faith in the Rebbeinu Shalom, to be out of the Rebbeinu Shalom. But from that, a person has to, his focus has to expand beyond that. But the Balei Musar are very pointed. Is that how does a person have Avas Hashem, the Eis Tzara? The way to come to that is by having Avas Hashem, the Eis Simcha. We experience the Rebbeinu Shalom in Simcha, and we grow in that experience in life to the max. That's what gives us, enables us to embrace the Rebbeinu Shalom in Simcha, even based on. It's not a simple philosophical quest. There are practical means, as Ronnie pointed out, by which we come to it. There's Amunah. Is Avas Hashem, which comes from that, which brings a person far beyond anything that I could understand. I know that it exists, that there are people that have it. I have a cousin whose father was with the Klosenberger Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Lebrucha, and felt the pain at the end of the war, at the time of the liberation. And my cousin shared some of these things with me. And I was so touched by it that I said, I can't just leave it to having heard it secondhand. So I met his father at a simcha, and I sat down next to him, and I asked his father to tell it to me firsthand. The Klosenberger Rebbe lost a wife and 11 children in the Holocaust, and barely survived himself. Barely survived. He then, right after the liberation, my cousin's father was walking with them in the forest outside Feldafin, and they came to a creek. The Rebbe got undressed and he titled himself. So he got out, and my cousin's father asked him, what was this all about? So the Rebbe told him, I was absolutely calm in the knowledge that I might die during the war. It did not disturb me. I could embrace that fate. But that I should die without power being able to be tov myself, that I had no menucha from that the entire time of the war. That disturbed my menucha. He went, it was in the middle of the week that they were liberated. Shabbos, he gathered the Eden together, and he davened to them. And he had a talus. How did he get a talus? The Americans came and they gave out linen sheets. So he took a sheet and he unraveled the threads at the end. And then he, from those threads, he spun them back together with his hands to make tzitzis out of them. And he put them in the beggars. And he had a talus. He davened Friday night in a talus. After the davening, the Rebbe did not think that the Yidden were up to a drosha, so he left. So later they went looking for him, and the Rebbe was staying in some, wherever he stayed, in the camp. So they walked in on him, and the Rebbe was singing his mirrors. Hi, Hashem, we'll go off to it. That's a person that had a muna that's of a totally different realm. It comes from a tremendous appreciation of Chesed Hashem. And it carries a person to an extent that in the most difficult situation that a person could experience in life, he's still motivated by Aleph Hashem. A change in the least bit from where he was before. It's an enormous, enormous madrega. A person should search out chokhmah, wisdom in this world, so that he should come closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And let's go with this point. We'll go a little further and then we'll go to the Ram. Seif dobo yaseh kol yichovto, do everything in his ability, lahargil machshav osliboi, that he should be disciplined to think in a fashion, kol hayom be'emunosoi, of faith in Hashem, v'yichudo, and his singularity, his uniqueness, ashelo yirega echad b'yom v'layla v'akit, so there's no waking moment, shelo yehizoychor avas adonah v'chol ivo, that he's not cognizant of his avas Hashem.
So this is a more active.
That this is so much part of his consciousness. A person that seeks a certain desire because he wants to bring something to his house today, and he's possessed with that. So we should be possessed with cheshek for the Rebbeinu Shalom. Now, on the bottom, if our focus is on Olam Hazeh, Shelo L'Shem Shemayim, not to serve the Rebbeinu Shelam, but Barak V'Yitzanigvim Ruvad, for our own pleasures, or L'Hasik Kovar Olam Hazeh, HaKoyev L'Hagdil Shemoy, that in this world, this painful world, he wishes to have a great name in this world, not for the purpose of helping good people and Oivdei Hashem. Now the Rambam, let's look at the second page. We don't have a lot of time left, unfortunately. The Rambam describes for us, beginning Perek Sheni, we'll start from the top. Right? Perek Aleph was about Yichud Hashem and Metzias Hashem. This honored, dignified, and awesome Rabbeinu Shalom, mitzvah li'ahava li'yira oisai, it's a mitzvah to have avas Hashem and yira oisai. Shneemar, yo'afto ayis Hashem alokecha, v'neemar es Hashem alokecha tira. V'heichi aderech la'avoso v'yirosa. How do we arrive at avas and yira Hashem? When we examine the actions of the Rabbeinu Shalom, ubruah hanefloim hagdolim, and we see the wondrous and large creations of the Rabbeinu Shalom, the yira mehen chokhmoso. That's what he says. We should seek. We saw in Sefer Achinus the yagei alahasik chokhmah. Study the world around us. the year of Mehen Chachmosa, and see the great wisdom of Hashem. She'en lo erech v'lo keitz, that it was impossible to fully evaluate it. It's limitless. Miyaru oyev, a person becomes an oyev Hashem. Umeshabeach, umepoer, and he praises Hashem. Umeshavet haivo g'doylo leid Hashem akodot. He wants nothing more than to draw close to understand the Rabbeinu Shalom. K'moisha Omar David, what did David HaMelech state? Somo nafshi le'elokim mekel chod. I thirst for the Rabbeinu Shalom mekel chod. And when a person becomes cognizant of the great chokhmah of the Rabbeinu Shalom in this world, we become frightened and shrink back. We realize that we are very small, shvolo, insignificant, afeilo dof, omedes b'daskalo. We have a very flimsy and limited wisdom, as we stand before the Rabbeinu Shalom, the one that's complete. When I examine the heavens, the things that you have wrought, then I feel Mo'enosh Kisis Karena. So what is meant in comparison to the Rabbeinu Shalom? It was there, and therefore the Rambam says, "Well, if you adore him, Elo, because of this, and they revive Kolim Gedolim and Master Ibn Olamim, in the rest of this chapter, I will be fine. Significant principles and understand the Rebbeinu Shel is Bria, that they see a Pesach Lemeivin Leil with Hashem, because through them a person can find Avos Hashem. For Sheomru Chachamim Binyan Avu, Shem Itoch Kach, and this is Ato Makaris Mishama Vayoyolam, which was said there, by that through this." That one recognizes the Rabbeinu Shalom Mishamakar v'hoyayilu.
He's using the Ramam verse.
Right, so the Ramam here is using to understand Ramam with Hashem. You see the tremendous chokhmah of the Rabbeinu Shalom in the Bria around us. The more one studies the world and sees how complicated its processes are, so one realizes the phenomenal chokhmah that exists in the world. Right, the number of functions, chemical functions, which are done by the human liver, it's endless how large the chemical plants would have to be able to do those processes. Endless. And here in, 8 pounds, 10 pounds, whatever it is, 10 pounds, the Rabbeinu Shalom has encompassed hundreds and hundreds of functions is that to make life possible. So we see tremendous chokhmah in the Bria. And I'm always astounded. In Arizona, I believe it was, right? They made the biosphere. And so 8 people were supposed to live in this for 2 years, inside the biosphere. And then they couldn't exactly, there was a closed environment. They made a cheshbon of all the things that are necessary for an environment to exist. They put it in a closed sphere. It was a closed, not subject to anything from the outside. Well, that could close by glass or whatever, or plastic. And they lived inside, everything under controlled circumstances. People had to leave in less than the allotted amount of time, and they were unable to figure out what to do with this place. Why? Because it created such toxins within it that they were afraid if toxins got out, they could destroy the entire world. Now they made a cheshbon, they took all the human chokhmah about what an environment has to be, and they put all the right things inside under controlled circumstances. So this should be perfect. There's no pollution, nothing negative, everything that's supposed to be. And what was the end result? The end result was they created such poisons that they were afraid if they let it out of there, they'd destroy the planet. So what did we learn from that? We learned the awesome chokhmah of the environment that the Rabbeinu Shalom made. That the environment functions despite the people, despite everything that we do on the planet. We still haven't succeeded in destroying the planet. That the Rabbeinu Shalom created a natural order that's able to deal with whatever we do in this world, and it still continues to function. And what we did with all the chokhmah that we could muster under the most ideal conditions was disastrous. So, what I learned from that is not that is the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The chokhmah that the Rabbeinu Shalom made in the Rabbeinu, with all our chokhmah, we have tremendous chokhmah, but with all our chokhmah, how much of the Rabbeinu Shalom's chokhmah do we understand? Tiny drop. Tiny drop. So, from that, this is what the Rambam tells us, the avenue to Amas Hashem. This is what the Sefer Chinuch meant when he writes, struggle constantly. Holding the vakoshes a chokhmah the one yasti gidiyabo. The chokhmah of kuloisa. The Rambam is interesting. In the lashon of the Sifri that he quoted on the third line. From Torah, that Rambam snuck in the midst of everything else, when the Rambam was talking about understanding the Berea, but rather slyly, the Rambam did allude to Divrei Torah, which he discusses directly in the Sefer HaMitzvot, because the Rambam writes, as the Chachamim wrote concerning Ava, Shemitoch Kach, from understanding the Chachma, there's Chachal was specifically talking about Torah, but to understanding the Chachma of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that the Makkas we Shalom of Ohio Olam. But that Chazal that he's quoting in the Sefri is a direct reference to Torah. So the Rambam did include both. In other words, there are two avenues. We understand the Chochmah of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam through his ultimate action, the world around us, and through the revealed Chochmah of the Torah. Both of them are windows in Chochmah Hashem. Through the appreciation of Chochmah Hashem is at the Makkas Mishama V'Haya Olam. We gain insight into the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam who created this world. So Avas Hashem is to bring us, is to motivate us to chinuch, to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam by appreciating the wisdom of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in all ways. So we feel what the proper place that a human being is in the world. Vis-a-vis the Rabbeinu Shel Olam are very small. So when we feel very small, then we can feel motivated to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam properly. A problem in the modern age is that modern men feel very arrogant and very powerful. Even in Rabbeinu Shel Olam.